Hello everyone, you are listening to No Side But People Side podcast.
This podcast is proposed by Interstice Fajawat, a French-Syrian initiative aiming to share analysis but also more intimate insights about life, society and politics in the Levant and beyond. To read our articles, you will find the link to the webpage in the description of the podcast.
If you like it, please share it with your friends and support us on Patreon.
Today, we are speaking from Tadamon. It's actually our third visit to this place. And now I'm standing next to the checkpoint that was it has very persisting existence in the memory of the people here, because many, like, no one knows how many people disappeared actually at this checkpoint. And these people who disappeared here, they were taken, like, away. And most probably they were all killed in this place, in the same place.
Because to describe the place, like, the checkpoint is on one main street that is called Dabul Street. Very close to it, there is a mosque. We'll speak about this mosque a bit later. It's really close to the checkpoint. And when you look to the east, you have a whole neighborhood that was part constructed already, and the other part was not. And this was the place that was used by this national defense to kill people. It was like a kill zone.
And now we will be walking towards the massacre that was somehow spreaded all over the media, all over the world, where it was committed by the national defense and by the guy called Amjad Youssef. And here, I mean, you can go, you can visit the place. And I mean, it's very surrealistic, because even the people, when we met them, they were saying that the bodies, they are still under, like, we are still walking above the bodies. And they were saying also that whenever you are walking in this neighborhood that I'm standing in the middle now, where it's all empty, destroyed buildings, full of rubbles, they say that the people, when they first entered, they were finding bodies, skeletons, with their clothes on still, in many of these buildings. So people, they were killed, thrown like this. And sometimes they were killed and they were put in mass graves. And, like, there were five officers who were captured recently who confessed, and they said where, like, one or two of these mass graves were. But, like, many other places are still unknown. There is even a room or an apartment that was used here by this national defense to arrest people, to keep them there. So so this place, it's very hard to understand, to realize, because even many buildings here, you see that it's all on the ground. There's nothing, it's not at all like, it's all on the ground. And they were saying that these buildings were put on the ground not by plane bombing, but they were killing people. They were putting them, the bodies, in this building, for example. And then they put explosives in it, and then they make it fall down. So all the bodies, they are under, like, under the rubble. And this to hide somehow, to hide the crime, and to hide that these people were killed, to say that these people were killed by the plane bombing, you know. So the people here, they were telling us this, that they were telling that all these buildings that have no any traces now, they are just rubble. This is an indication that there's a mass grave under.
Like, we just passed a place where there's a destroyed car. One of the stories was that the people who were in this car, they were just stopped on the checkpoint and killed in this car. And when you look just two floors up, you have a corner that is where you see still a part of the apartment was in blue color, the painting on the walls. And there's all the sandbags for the sniper place. It was like a nest for the sniper just above.
Yeah.
Actually, also, like, when you look to the right from here, like, you go from the car, the broken car, you go to a staircase. And they told us that under the rubble in the staircase, there's probably still bodies. But as I understand, when there is no concrete testimony by someone, who know about this precise place, they don't open the place somehow. They won't. They told us that they wait for all perpetrators to say it's here, or survivors who have a precise idea about the place.
And of course, I mean, when you have testimonies from the people, like, you cannot be sure, because I mean, also when you are living here, you hear many rumors, you hear many things about the scale of the killing, and the scale of the killing, it is true, but we cannot know where are all these bodies, like, because here Tadaman, it was known that it was the assassination place. They were bringing people from everywhere, like from all around Damascus somehow, and ruler Damascus, especially the guys who were captured on the checkpoint. Sometimes they were bringing guys from the prisons, and they were bringing them here, and they were assassinated here. It was like their stronghold here. And even some of the testimonies here from the people, they were saying that this region, it was somehow even independent for this national defense. No one could tell them nothing. Even the intelligence service, they had a direct line with the president. So somehow they were out of control, even of the state itself. Although it's, we cannot say it like this, even though the people, they said it like this. But it was, I mean, everyone knew what was happening. But they were... they were doing whatever they want. And the video, if you watch the video of the massacre that happened here, the Tadaman massacre by Amjad Youssef, you see that the way of killing, I mean, it's something unbelievable. And it's like the people, they were doing whatever they want. And this is what the testimonies, the people who were living here said that this place, it was like their farm. They were doing whatever. They were killing the people, they were torturing them, they were using them, they were making them as slaves. So the Tadaman, it has a very specific situation also because of this. And there are places where we were visiting also with one of the people who were living here. And you see clearly the bones, you see the burnt places, because they were saying that they were burning a lot, the bodies. And you see the remaining also, like the all the ashes on the ground, and you see the black color on the walls. And of course, all these buildings here are not finished yet, but you see like everywhere the traces. And there's something also that even if the building was inhabited and it has everything inside, now when you go visit, everything is totally empty. There is nothing existing. Even the tiles, even the ceramic on the floor, on the ground, everything is taken. Like, even they found the building still standing, they did not find nothing inside. It was all taken. So the people somehow, they came back for nothing. And in many areas, they also did this in purpose. And in one region here, next to Tadaman and Yarmouk, it's called the Qadam Asali. This region, it was all explode, like they put explosive everywhere, and they just put it, like raised it all on the ground. Also we were told that this was done by the engineering brigades, who were coming specifically to destroy everything, and this was also to give to put everything on the ground, so they have better view for the places like that are much further from them.
Here we are in a place in the building where you have a lot of bones. And the last day we met the person who gathered them here. It's a bit hidden. It's inside the building where they burnt the bodies also. You see in different places, you see ashes and burnt tires and remainings of clothes and these bones that are here in a hole. So this is one skull. Here's another skull. Here's a spine. This is a piece of a hip. And here you have a lot of leg bones, several ones. And you have some small ones for children also. And here you have ribs also. And here you can see still the teeth. And also we are just in front of the staircase of one very high building. It's maybe the highest in this neighborhood, where the staircase was destroyed. And the guy who brought us here, he said that this building was used to throw people from the top, and that most probably they destroyed the staircase to prevent any access to this building anymore. So we don't know what is in this building upstairs. We have no idea. We can see the first and second floor because it's a non-finished building. It's a workplace. But we don't know what is above, if you can find something on the top.
I want to speak also about, like now, next to this place where they found like part of these bones and where they gathered. There are people working, there are people removing the rubble, and like they are rehabilitating the place somehow. They want to rebuild it. So this is also saying that, I don't know, many of these places, many of these evidences, let's say, if no one like act and you know, like try to put more effort to understand this place and to understand where happened all these crimes, I think it will be lost forever.
Actually, today is 16th of April 2025, so it's the anniversary date of the massacre that was the most broadcasted. And we are now in the street, actually, where this massacre happened. We are really in front of the place where it's not really clear if the bodies, they are still underground or not. Some people, they say that they were removed, and some other people, they say no, anybody was removed. They just closed above the hole, like back then, the perpetrators, and it was not open. They modified the scene also, they built a wall, and they removed one inscription that was on the wall with the date that you can see on the video. But the street is exactly the same, so there's no doubt about the place. Just today is the anniversary, and we were expecting some commemoration, something, and there's nothing. And it's a bit surprising because it's like the whole neighborhood somehow wants to bring life back. So
they
are cleaning, building, and taking back all these destroyed flats that were their flats. But it's strange. And also there's a lot of garbage everywhere, so it's very hard to say what is remaining from this period where the massacre happened. And you see bones everywhere. And some of them, they are obviously human bones, but you don't know if they were brought there, if they are just never removed, why they are on the surface.
But also because we are speaking about a massacre that happened in 2013, and it's a very long time ago. So, I mean, this is why now the scene is, you don't understand. There was a siege here. The people, they left the place, and then they come back to the place. And I mean, also the people, they came here a lot to this place, the families of the victims, the people who are living here. So somehow, the scene, it's not the same, and you don't know. And even the media, when they came here, when they spoke about the mass graves, there was not really clear information about the bodies.
And many people from the place, like children especially, they bring bones to the journalists. So they go to one place, they pick up bones to show them on the pictures, and they don't bring them back. They just throw them on the ground somewhere else. So you don't know. You know that there are bones everywhere, but you don't know from who, from where, from when. Mm. And it's a bit disturbing. Mm. It's a bit disturbing. And also, I wanted to say that the National Defense, so the main perpetrators, they stayed in the neighborhood from 2012 to 2017, even if the place was still under control of the regime until the liberation, until 2024. So you don't know exactly until when the National Defense, they were using this place as a killing zone. You know exactly that in 2013 they were. And you know that it lasted for a long period, and that they were killing people here until at least 2017. So it's a long period also. It's 3 to 5 years or even more. Yeah. The testimonies, they are mixed also. Some people, they speak to you, they say this happened there and this and that. And you never know exactly what happened
in fact, and where exactly? And the stories, they are mixed. You see that some moments they show a place. They say here were 500 bodies, and you know that there were not 500 bodies in this place only. I mean,
it's in the region.
At least
it's much more in the region. But yeah, the people they give you numbers. They say here, and then someone else they say there, and also I mean, yeah, it's because no one really did the research. No one really came and looked at all the documents. No one really came and gathered testimonies and cross-cutted them with all the, you know, like all the information that you can take from, you know, like from resources, from the officers who came here. I mean, I don't know, like these officers who came here, did they really investigate with them? Did they really give them maps and they said here and there? It was very strange, the video that we saw also when they brought one of these officers.
They arrested several ones, and there were one arrest of three of them that were not directly involved in the massacre of 2013. And they arrested them in this neighborhood. So they made a whole communication plan, and the journalists, the new journalists from this, who are very supporting the new regime, they came with the general security forces. Just after they arrested one of them, who is Algerian, they brought him to the place with the journalists. And
the
them
place here?
And then where we are, yeah. And they made a show. They made a show, they show him a bones, and they ask him if he regrets, if he has some feelings. It's insane. It's disturbing.
Very, yeah. It's very disrespectful for the victims. It's very unprofessional way, especially the journalists who are doing this. I mean, what? There was no purpose actually of what they were doing. Dealing with this question is very strange. It's very disrespectful. It's very unprofessional, and it's not a priority. It's not taken really into consideration. I mean, I know that the families of victims, specifically the prisoners, they are working hard, like to make things move in this direction. But here also, I mean, it's also something else. The massacres that happened, especially here in Tadamon.
And just to remind also, when they arrested these three, they arrested them because they were named by the officers. The main officers who were responsible for the massacres, they were not arrested. They have an amnesty, and they are used to settle situation, also to give information about what happened. So they came here, like Fadi Sakhar, for example. He came here with the general security, and he was free. He was a free man. He was not coming as a prisoner. And the people here, the survivors, the families of victims, they were outraged. They were protest here in the neighborhood because they could not accept that the main responsible for the killing of their relatives, he was coming here free and walking on the same place where their relatives were murdered.
Yeah.
And this is also part of all this disrespectful way of dealing with the suffering of the people, with the trauma. And now at least the government, the new government, they should have come today for the anniversary. They should have made something. Even if it's a show, they should have come to the families of victims to meet them, to make a commemoration, to put something in the place where the massacre, the main massacre occurred, to remember the victims. And also, we know here also that most of the victims, they were Palestinians.
Mm.
A part of them, they were Turkmens who are refugees from the Golan Heights. So they were expelled in 67. They came from Yarmouk, from Tadamon. I mean, they are all the refugees from the conflict with Israel. And they were murdered without any... I mean, there is no justification for murder, but there were no purpose. They were just killed because the killers wanted to kill people.
And there's the thing also that is that these places are not protected. I mean, you come here, everyone is coming here, everyone is moving what they want, taking what they want. So somehow when you were speaking like about that, like today the new government, that they should have come and they should protect this place. I mean, you should put at least a sign, you should just to, I mean, this is also part of the respect. This is also part of the commemoration for the people to know that, especially that there are many visitors who are coming to this place, to know that it was here what happened, you know. And after, you can discuss with the families of victims, you can speak with them, you can ask them, what do you think we should do? What do you think the best way is to commemorate the memory of your relatives, of the people who died, you know? You can make this as a collective decision. But first, you have to protect this place until you reach this phase, you know? Because it's obvious that it's not a priority now for the new this new government. But at least you need to put some lines, you know? So the people, they don't pass here or... Because as you said, there's garbage. Barrier. So you don't understand now which is what.
Because here. Also on the main place of the killing, you find clothes, you find shoes, you find these bones, of course, but you find a lot of clothes, and you cannot understand if these clothes, they are belonging to the bodies or if they were thrown afterwards as garbage from the people living here in the place or passing through. And also about protecting, I wanted to say also that this guy we met, he said that he has some relatives who were killed during the massacres, and he tried to gather the bones. So it's a very individual initiative to protect the bones. He put them in some place, but it's not really protected. They could be an agreement from some authority here, local authority, to put all the remaining in one specific room that is closed, and everyone who finds something, he could bring this bone to this authority, and they would gather them in the same place. But he did this in some open building where we went just before, and we touched this bone the same way.
He said also that he buried a lot. And then at some moment when some media came, Turkish media and then another, or media or investigators, he took them out, or they took them out. So also it's not clear what the people are saying. Like, someone buried them and then you took them out. So you did not put them back. And he said there are a lot that he buried.
And there were this other guy who said that under each building where there were suspicion of a mass grave, these bodies were removed. So they are not anymore. So we don't understand exactly why the main massacre, the bodies, they are still under or not. And on other places they were removed, and where they were removed and by whom, and because it doesn't look like it was removed by the civil defense or some forensic team. It was just removed from the place.
Because also even before, when they were making blowing the places, they were the national defense, the regime itself, they were removing the rubble and throw them with the bodies, with the bones, I think, somewhere all over here, because all over here it's full of piles of rubbles. You don't understand what is inside, what's in under, what's... So this is also something. And this guy, he said, yeah, like every place of a massacre that was documented, it was removed, the bodies. But I mean,
again, we don't know, because also there is no press release, there is nothing speaking about it.
No, there's nothing. It's really not a priority. But anyway, like, there is a lot of speaking about transitional justice, and this is a big part of it. I mean, the perpetrators, the assassinators who were participating in this. I mean, now we don't know what happened with this Fadi Sakhar, with this Abu al-Muntajab, with these people who were arrested. And the people here, like, everywhere you ask, they speak about these people. They tortured them here. They really killed them. They tortured them. They made their life a hell. They humiliated them. So also, it's not clear, there's no transparency about how they are dealing with all these.
About Fadi Sakhar, it is clear, because they named him to speak with the Alawi population on the coast after the massacres. So this guy is free, and he is given a new credibility by working with the government to settle situation with the people on the coast. So
but do we know where he is now, how
he is? He is in Four Seasons Hotel.
Oh.
They said he's living in Four Seasons Hotel. No. So he's living with the UN, basically,
but
in the same building that is protected by the general security.
That's very
and even there were this other person who said the former Shabiha, it means the people who were collaborating or working with the regime and even killing, participating in the killing, denunciation, killing, arrest, and all this, torture. Some of them, they are still living in the neighborhood, and they see them. They know exactly where they live. They see them passing with the car. We saw one car at some moment passing while we were interviewing one of them. And he said that this one, for example, is a Shabiha. He has a very nice car. And on the car, he put this logo from the Southern Front. And they say, this guy, we know that he's a Shabiha. And he's passing here. It's half to provoke, half to say, I'm still here, because he doesn't care. And what was even more disturbing,
he said, is that somehow they are protected. When people, they try to go to them to make them accountable and to denounce them, somehow the government is trying to protect them. So there is no
confrontation.
No, because confrontation.
Also the people, they want to take revenge.
No
some
revenge.
Of them, they want to speak, but some of them, they want to take revenge. Some of them, maybe they want to kill them. They want to do the same, you know, as they saw them doing. And we saw this, one of our testimonies, the same guy who told us about this car with the Shabiha inside. He was saying that he doesn't understand how the government is dealing. For him, it's not like this. He said the government plan is to persecute these people in 5 years. He said, but maybe I don't want to wait 5 years. Maybe I will die in 5 years. I want this to happen now. And they are saying that we cannot believe that they are letting them just live like this in the streets, and they want us to be silent and not to be provoked. And the guy himself, he said, I wanted and I went. It's just at this moment when I went, they were not here, because somehow they fled immediately after the regime fell. So of course, I mean, there will be a huge confrontation, but also because the new government, they are not taking measures. And if they are taking measures, it's not clear. So the people there don't understand what they are doing. And of course, you have also the other part of the people who are saying it's very good what the new government is doing. We just want them to take our right. So also you have the people who want to believe in the new government and what they are doing. And they want to believe that they are taking the right steps. So we have somehow the both testimonies, and the both are speaking in a very, like, they are very convinced of what they are speaking about. This podcast will be our way to share with you our reflections during our stay in Syria, so please stay tuned for the coming episodes. And for this project to happen, we will need your support. You will find the link for our fundraising campaign in the description of this podcast.